You're listening to Yes to Employment, a podcast series that seeks to improve competitive integrated employment outcomes for transition-aged youth and young adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. In June, Dale Verstegen took the opportunity of being at the APSE annual conference to talk with Jared Daly, Chris Carpenter, and Eric Hibinger of the Employment Collaborative of Cuyahoga County, Ohio. The Employment Collaborative of Cuyahoga County is a group of 37 local employment service providers formed in 2014. They discuss how the collaborative works to improve the quality of services to people with disabilities seeking employment and better engage with businesses seeking employees.
So Dale Verstegen here, and we are doing a podcast on the Employment Collaborative of Cuyahoga County in the state of Ohio. And with us today is Jared Daly, Chris Carpenter, and Eric Hibinger. Jared, thank you so much for coming and doing this podcast with us. Could you just give us an idea of what the Employment Collaborative of Cuyahoga County is?
Yeah, so the Employment Collaborative of Cuyahoga County is a network of 38 agencies that kind of partner together, all agencies that are working to help people with disabilities find employment in the Cleveland area. So we network, we partner, we meet, we share job leads together, we put hiring events on for people with disabilities to attend, we do shared trainings, and that's pretty much it. Meet together to try to work together and help more people with disabilities in the Cleveland area get connected with the employers that we're working with.
How often do you meet?
We meet every other month. So we have our larger meetings once every other month where we kind of share some of the job leads, some of the businesses that we're connecting with. We also connect via email frequently, probably once a week, sometimes more if a lot of things are going on. And we also have little break-off groups that work on other subcommittees, and they meet monthly as well. So they focus on things like service delivery, membership, volunteers, or events. So we'll probably meet with a lot of the partners at least once a month regularly.
Okay, great. How did this get started?
About 4 years ago, I was a job developer in the field, and I was connecting with a lot of businesses that were really interested in hiring someone with a disability. And when I'd go back and look at my own caseload after finding out a lot of the information about the jobs, I didn't think I had a really good fit. So I'd reach out to some of the partners in the area and go, there's all these businesses that want to hire people with disabilities. We just don't have access to all the job seekers immediately to find them that match. So we got to get together. We got to work as one. So if we connect with a business that's ready to hire and willing to work with us, that we can get them that perfect candidate right away. So we just started meeting and building trust and relationships, and it just kind of grew and took off. And now we're at almost 40 agencies that are working together.
Yeah, great. So putting other people in your shoes, how did that start? Like you said, you developed some rapport and some trust. I assume it wasn't with all 38 at the same time. How did it build and grow?
Well, I think at first we started with just three other partners. So it was myself and three people in the field that I just knew personally. So we started small, and we started just meeting every couple weeks to talk about the same frustrations of being in the field. And we all had the same pain points. Like we were all connecting with businesses. We didn't have the job seekers. We were willing to share. So we started doing it small. And then when we'd meet next, one other partner would come and show. And then it would go from 5 to 8, from 8 to 12, from 12 to 20. And so it just kind of grew as people saw we were having a little bit of success just working together and staying connected.
So people self-identified and just chose to show up for this because they saw value.
So I think that's one of the coolest parts about the collaborative. It's not mandated by any agency. We don't do any MOUs or agreements or contracts. If you want to participate, however that is, we allow you to participate. So we really like that partners bring different skills and services to the group, and we have a lot of different types of partners, from service providers to the VA to our VR system to local nonprofits to the United Way. Really, however someone, whatever they can bring to the table, we want them to come and be a part and bring that.
So Eric, you're with a provider organization that basically decided to come on board with this. I mean, what were some of your thoughts, even reservations? Because, like, for example, you're sharing job leads. So, you know, how did you feel about that in terms of working with other providers?
To be honest, it was a little nerve-wracking at first. But, once we really started getting into the realm of sharing job leads with people and actually got into the nuts and bolts of it, what we saw was that when we did share job leads with the other individuals that we were working with, the other professionals in the field, we started seeing more job leads come back to us. So what really happened was, you put in and you get back. And seeing that was what we all noticed was what the true essence of collaboration was that, if we're going to sit out here and promote our individuals, then, we might as well promote everybody else as well so that everybody's on the same page.
So Eric, I've had a lot of experience trying to get these types of collaboratives going. One of the things that I think is so important, especially for the partnerships with industry grants with the states that are doing this kind of work, is that whole employer engagement. And they're an important customer of ours. And I really love the fact that you guys have a real sensitivity to that and serving the needs of those local employers. But I also find that a lot of times it's not, the employers are kind of like, okay, I get it. And then nothing happens. That's what they tell us. They say, okay, I showed some interest and we don't necessarily have a job match or we don't have a way to really work with that local employer. How is a collaborative? How do you handle the supply side of this whole thing when it comes to working with employers?
I think overall, Dale, the key for us is communication. I think that, the way that we cultivate the businesses that we work with, we come at it from, how can we help you? Not so much how can you help us standpoint. That kind of the dual customer model where we talk about not only providing services to our client, but we're providing a service to the businesses that we work with. We want to be looked at as a resource, a place where they can hire individuals from those qualified, capable individuals. So by doing that, what we're really doing is, like you said, cultivating the business that we're looking at or that we're engaging with. And we're really doing some of that exploratory work, getting into the business, really kind of talking to the HR departments, their talent acquisition people, and really seeing where they have needs that they might not even know about. And I think what we've been able to do from there is kind of create more of those customized positions. Some of those positions that they may not have even known were available or could have been available in the company that they work with.
So have you had a situation where somebody on your caseload got a job based on a lead from another person that they brought to the collaborative?
Yeah, actually. So I know Jared, who's with us here, has a great connection with one of the local hospitals up by us. Oh. And we run a project search site out of the Cleveland Clinic up there. And he, at one of our hiring events, brought another local hospital to there for a porter position. And shared through the hiring event and through his lead that he brought, he shared that with one of our job developers who had been in a very similar position in her intern over at the Cleveland Clinic ship in her internship. And when he shared it with her, we knew right then and there it was a great match.
Good.
So what we did was we immediately approached that employer. So, we have somebody who did this, but at another hospital. What do you think the odds are? And I think it was 2 weeks later, they were off and running.
So, Eric, that's great. I mean, just the notion that you're gaining some benefits from other people's efforts with employers just really shows it as a true collaborative. And I'm sure it probably breaks the other way, too, that you're generating some leads and some opportunities for others as well. So, Chris, you supervise Jared, who helped come up with this idea. You've seen it evolve over time. Is this a good return on your investment in terms of where your staff are putting their time and efforts?
Absolutely. From a county board perspective, as we phase out of direct service provision, we're really trying to figure out where we can help providers in our community do better work and support the individuals that were one time people we served directly and now going to be going there. We view business engagement as a piece that the county board can provide in Ohio. And with that business engagement, we've got to have someplace that the lead can go, someplace that that business relationship can be further cultivated. And that's where Jared can kind of start that race, take the baton and hand it over to another provider in the collaborative. And we don't have to worry about losing that lead or having to fill our own positions. So we feel that the return on investment from a county board is great, perfect for us, and actually fits right into our future direction and model.
Yeah, good. And I'm sure, you know, as a supervisor of staff and trying to make your programs as effective as possible, you probably get those questions about, okay, so what's the result of all this? So are you making efforts in terms of this collaborative, in terms of tracking kind of the impact that it's having?
Absolutely. We definitely look at business engagement as a really philosophy in general. And when you look at good business engagement, you have to look at the labor market information and look at what's going on in your region and what are those jobs that are opening up and growing, and then what are those businesses and how many establishments do you have in your area? We look at that, and then we tie that back to the data that we have with the collaborative. When we look at how many leads we share, what are those types of leads, what industries are they in, what occupations do they cover, we look at all that data. We collect that data from our providers, from the participants in the group, and then we also collect on how many times someone gets an interview, how many people get hired, are they in a 90-day retention post that hire. We track everything that we can manage to track. The hard part is kind of getting that data from a bunch of different partners that all have different databases, different policies and procedures and how they collect and maintain data. And we're doing that in a spreadsheet format right now, but we're really trying to take that data and then be actionable on it. So we look at what we did last year, what we did last quarter, what we did last month, last week, and then we strategically plan in how we can do better things moving forward. And we're already starting to plan for 2019 right now. And, you know, goals are getting bigger and objectives are getting harder, and you know, we're going to be going places in 2019.
Good. So this information, it gets put together, it's shared with everybody in the collaborative?
We give every partner what we call a scorecard that gives them an idea of how many leads they've shared over the period of time that we're tracking, and then how many hires they've had, and then they can kind of get a feeling of what they're contributing to the collective.
So a lot of reporting, a lot of data collection that goes on anyways. How would you characterize people's willingness to kind of give you this information?
I think they're very willing to give it to us. I think they're also very busy, and I think it's hard to remember to get that data shared to somebody else once the outcome's already been met. We find sometimes that as Jared's out business engaging in a community, someone got hired at Home Depot that we didn't know about through the collaborative efforts, and they just didn't share the information. It was a great outcome, and that person's been successful in their employment location. But that job developer, that partner's on to the next person who's looking for a job and really moving forward in you know, other collaborative efforts. So everybody wants to share. It's just everybody's very busy, and no one's required to share that information. We're just, you know, self-reporting all of that. And so our outcomes are probably better than we can even manage to track right now.
Got it. I'm sure it's always a challenge. So has the collaborative evolved over time? And can kind of how have you seen it make change? How long has it been around exactly?
As Jared said, it started about 4 years ago. And Jared is the, you know, the author of this idea. As it came up, I don't want to steal his credit. Yeah. And I, pretty early after he came up with the idea, began supervising the job development department that we had. It grew in that first year from just really discussions on how we could work together to actually being actions we can take to make outcomes occur, to have people get jobs and maintain those jobs. What Jared and I have found as we talk about this moving forward, especially over the past maybe year and a half, everything we do that's a collaborative effort has to be kind of analyzed and evaluated and reflected on. And then what's not working has to be thrown out, and what is working has to be further emphasized. Because if at any point it gets to a place where a provider feels like it's not in their best interest to participate, then the collaborative dies. I make this comment all the time. Jared's going to hate me. The strength of the pack is in the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is in the pack, right? I mean, the group is effective because everybody's together, but everybody individually is effective. So,
I like that.
It's a nice analogy.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So Jared, you kind of kicked this thing off, and you have coworkers that also do job development. And some of those I'm envisioning might be relatively new within your organization. And it just seems to me this collaborative could also have significant benefit to those folks that are trying to break into doing this. Could you talk a little bit about
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So the county board actually, our job development staff were cut when we did the service provider, or when we moved out of being a service provider. So I was actually one of the newer job developers when I got started. And so I think that gave me a little perspective of this, that I didn't know we were all supposed to compete. I didn't know we weren't supposed to share job leads. So when I would walk into this awesome business and the manager just seemed perfect to hire someone with a disability and wanted to, I went up to my boss at the time, was like, why aren't we all working together? There's 2,000 job seekers in our area that have a disability. There would have been one perfect person out of those 2,000 that could have worked there, but I only have access to 15 of them because that was my caseload. So I think part of that was being new and saying, like, it doesn't need to be this way. Oakleaf Partners, where Eric works at, a branch of United Cerebral Palsy, they've done an awesome job of hiring really talented individuals to do job development. And I think when we get new people into the field, we get them before they can even think about being competitors. We just tell them, this is how it is, and this is how it's always been, and this is what you do. So they come into a world that they've only known where everyone collaborates and works together. So when we do get new staff in, they think it's awesome, and they just think this is how it's always been. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really helpful. And it is helpful for them as well to meet other staff in the field and pick their brains and learn things. I mean, we didn't even have camaraderie like that in a field where we could express frustrations, talk about successes, because it is a field that turns over a lot. And I think part of that was there was no peer support and networking. And I think one of the things, and Chris loves the data and all the things we track, but sometimes we've just built some friendships and relationships that have helped people stay in the field because they have someone that knows what they're going through and how it is, because it is an odd job description that you don't really have a lot of colleagues out in the world that can, you know, empathize with you.
So that's really another additional kind of positive unintended consequence, is that you now have a situation where people feel like they can get support that they otherwise wouldn't, and possibly more job retention based on having this collaborative in place.
Yep, we're really excited about the data and the stats, because so this year alone, we've already shared 134 job leads. Ah. And so we count any job lead as like an incremental advantage. So the job leads to us are really important, that it's not just Walmart is hiring, we saw a sign. It's Olive Garden's hiring, here's the manager's name and what they're looking for, who do you have for me? So it's not just a blanket. We don't want it to be white noise. We want it to really be impactful. And of those 134 job leads this year already, we've already had 57 people get hired through collaboration. Last year, we had 87 people get hired through the collaborative efforts. That's a job lead from one partner with a job getting connected to a job seeker from another. So we're really excited about those tangible metrics. But that whole just, we're now a team all together. We even have a fundraiser coming up on Saturday where we're all going to play sand volleyball against each other. We had a shuffleboard tournament, all to raise a little bit of money, because some of the events we do, we might buy employers lunch. But we also are excited that our group runs off a really minimal budget. We don't get any support from any grants or anything. So we locally fundraise just to put on a little job fair, take the employers out to lunch, or cater it in. So all of these data points really come in for marginal costs. It's a little bit of staff time. And I'm sure Eric can kind of talk to, from a service provider, how much time he puts in to how many placements he gets out, and making sure that's always financially sustainable for a provider. We don't want them having to contribute 50 hours and not get any placements, or, you know, 500 hours and get one placement. So we track to make sure that they're participating, but they're also getting the outcomes they're looking for.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little bit to your original question. I think one of the things we've learned is that as we try to be inclusive and bring all different partners, all different types of partners into the collaborative, they come with different things they can offer, and then we figure out different things the collaborative can now do, different ways the collaborative can be effective. It starts with a sharing of leads. It ends up being, well, we can help in doing trainings, and it can be looking at volunteering opportunities for community partners. There are community partners that want to figure out how they can volunteer. We can offer volunteering opportunities at our hiring events. They can come to some of our meetings and listen to what the current, you know, hot topic is at the time, and they can add in their opinion on what they think could be a helpful interjection into the group. I think that type of fluidity that we have and malleable nature of the group allows us to be really transformative in anything we're talking about and doing. And then as we do that, we figure out, okay, now how do we track on those things? How do we measure some of those things that we're now doing that are new things we never were doing a year ago? That our data is changing as our group changes and as our dynamic changes.
So also perked my ears is I'm sure a number of people here in the podcast are going to say, well, what grant funds this and where's the money to do this? And what I loved is you talked about how grassroots this is and how it's by volunteering to they see benefit and they just sign up to do that. And so and then now the fundraisers, I mean, it's ironic, we're raising money to feed employers. I love that. I mean, that just really kind of tells you kind of where your group's at and what it is they want to accomplish together, regardless of a funder to pay for some of these things. So Eric, how would you say in terms of your role and your organization's roles, how has it evolved over time for you and your organization?
So overall, in the beginning, Oakleaf Partners as an agency has been there from the beginning, but our role really started as an active one, only because I think, you know, Jared and I do think alike in how we share job leads and, you know, how we network with businesses and cultivate those leads for everybody. So we initially took an active role, and then as it progressed, you know, it became more of a leadership role, I guess you would say, within the collaborative. And that's really where, you know, even coming from a provider standpoint, I would have our CEO, our COO, our director of our department asking me, you know, why are you spending so much time on this collaborative? What's going on? And then I would kind of reverse it back on them and say, well, because of these numbers. And, you know, like 2017, I think I spent a total of maybe 40, 45 hours, and our agency was able to get 15 successful placements out of it. And I think to date, 12 of those 15 placements are still working. So, I mean, that right there is one of those proof is in the pudding type.
So, Eric, could you start us out with just kind of words of wisdom, kind of possible next steps and things that people should keep in mind if they're interested in either improving their collaborative or starting a collaborative in their area?
I think coming from the provider standpoint, I think having an open mind if you're approached with this idea. I think keeping, you know, lend an open ear to anybody who wants to talk to you about it, but also know that you as one single person only have so much availability in the day. And then you divide that time by the amount of clients you have or the individuals you're serving, and it really diminishes that time greatly. So, you know, from the provider standpoint, I think, you know, if you're looking for a return on investment, you know, lending your expertise and your knowledge and your skill set to a collaborative style group, it really kind of maximizes the efforts that you can make for the clients that you're serving.
So, Chris and Jared, what are your kind of parting words and advice for folks that want to get started or improve their collaborative?
Yeah, and this is Chris. From my perspective, I think a good takeaway is just becoming, if you're not already, very data-driven and data-friendly and understanding what are those measurement and evaluation points that you can tap into, hit on, and utilize to help make sure that you're, one, doing things effectively, two, validating the work that you're doing, right? And then supporting the continuation of that work with executive leadership and anybody else that would be wondering, how is this impacting my agency that I'm, you know, charged with overseeing? When people don't understand where the work is leading to in an outcome, it's really hard to justify that continued effort. But if they can say that this does lead to X number of hires and placements, and also which in turn leads to this amount of dollars coming back to us, then it's really a win-win for everybody. So just become data friendly, recognize what you need to track, try and track it, and then share it, and it should help you out in the long run.
And for me to always counter Chris's data analytical mind from like the social and psychology perspective of just getting together, there's going to be people out there that are just more collaborative in nature. You don't have to get everybody at the table day one. We started with a couple people that were just more willing, and then we added some people that were kind of next on that level, and then the next level of people that were there. And even though there were people when we started that said, this will never work, I'm not going to do it, by the time we've got so many partners on board and so many people wanting to participate, it made it impossible for them not to participate. So you don't have to go out to your region, and if there's 12 partners in your area, get all 12 on day one. If you can grab a cup of coffee with one or two that express interest to get started, the rest will come along at their own pace and at their own time. I think a lot of groups that try to get started get a little frustrated if it's not taking off right away. Our collaborative in the first year and a half was so much just relationship building and kind of holding people's hands through the process that we really only helped 7 people get jobs in the first year and a half. In the last year and a half, we've helped over 125. So you talk about 10 times the output. It didn't happen overnight. It happened from building a lot of relationships and trust with your own colleagues at different agencies. So some providers didn't even have great collaboration with their own job developers in their own agencies. So even seeing that kind of those walls and silos breaking down. So for anyone out there that thinks this could be a good idea or helpful, it's not going to happen overnight. Start working with one or two partners that you think will come to the table early. Grab coffee, grab a beer after work, and build those personal relationships, and then start working on some of the things. What data should we track? What are our rules and regulations? How often should we meet? What do we want to focus on? Because we want it to be right-sized for your region. What works in Cuyahoga County might not work exactly in your area, but we always think the idea of just collaborating and coalescing and getting the broadest, deepest job seeker pool you can find is going to work anywhere and everywhere. So I think that's the one piece of advice we would give everyone. Just start getting together and build your own from the ground up, right? We've had every partner have an equal voice in what direction we're heading and where we want to go and why we should do it. So, you know, you don't want someone coming in and saying, hey, this is what we're doing, this is where we're going. Get the group together and go, where do you think we should go? And how do you think we should get there? And those that want to step up and be leaders will, and those that want to ride more passively will, and let people kind of fit into the role that they feel was best for them.
That's great. So on behalf of all the employers in Cuyahoga County, I just want to thank all three of you and your entire collaborative, because it's very clear to me they're getting more and better services in your county based on your interest and ability to work together. So I commend you all. Jared, I commend you on your initiative and the fact that you innovated this thing and kind of got other people to get behind it. That's not an easy thing to do, and you should be very proud of getting this thing going. And all three of you, thank you for your time and for the efforts that you've made, both with the collaborative and to share your expertise and experience to date.
You've been listening to Yes to Employment, a podcast that seeks to improve competitive integrated employment outcomes for transition-aged youth and young adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Today we spoke with Jared Daly, Chris Carpenter, and Eric Hibinger of the Employment Collaborative of Cuyahoga County. The collaborative will soon be launching a new website and releasing a manual on how to start and run an employment collaborative of your own. You can follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/employmentcollabcuyahoga. That's employment, collab, cuyahoga, for contact information and updates. For more about Yes to Employment, including show notes, links to resources discussed, a complete transcript, and a schedule of episodes, visit www.yestoemployment.org/podcast. You can subscribe through iTunes or your favorite Android podcast app to have the series delivered automatically to your device so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a rating on iTunes. Ratings will help us get the series in front of more listeners. Yes to Employment is a product of the Youth Employment Solutions Center, the National Training and Technical Assistance Center that serves as the hub of information and expertise for the Partnerships in Employment, PIE, state projects. The YES Center is a collaboration of TASH and TRANSCEND, You can learn more about TASH at TASH.org and more about Transcend at Transcend.org. That's TRANSCEN.org. You can receive updates from the Yes Center on this podcast and our other activities by following us on Facebook or on Twitter at Yes to Employment. Partnerships in Employment is a series of seed grants funded by the Administration on Community Living's Administration on Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, made to states for the purpose of transforming state disability support systems to competitive integrated employment. AIDD is dedicated to ensuring that individuals with developmental disabilities and their families are able to fully participate in and contribute to all aspects of community life in the United States and its territories. Music for Yes to Employment is an original composition and performance by Sunny Sefirati, the co-director and autistic self-advocacy mentor at The Musical Autist. You can learn more about The Musical Autist at www.themusicalautist.org. Be sure to keep Yes to Employment on your subscription list. We'll talk with another innovator in competitive integrated employment soon.